Or it could be join like Jaden. Joy Yin.
And so on a Pottery Bar catalog.
Pottery Bar catalog. There's a good, that's a good episode title. Well, good evening, everybody. And welcome to episode number 224 of the Loose Screws podcast. Today is Thursday, March 7th, 2024.
33:10.
That time is hard.
I am Commander Nurgle. Joining me tonight are Commander Bloomingman.
Hello, everybody.
And Commander Arkshadow.
I'm flying because I must fly.
And landing Tail Draggers.
No, I'm already out of flight sim. I'm back in Elite.
Oh, okay. And it's just the three of us tonight. They left us the keys to the car, and we're cruising.
And by cruising, I mean going down a large hill in neutral with no brakes.
Yeah, because we've all had interesting at best, bad at worst days, and we're grumpy.
Absolutely.
So this could get bumpy.
Grumpy old screws.
And I'm rhyming for no apparent reason.
But nice.
Accidental Dr. rhyme.
Dr. Seuss would be proud of you.
Yeah. Didn't he drink a lot?
No, he didn't really. No more than any other World War II era veteran.
Okay. Which is to say a lot, but not a lot for them.
Which narrows it down some. All right.
I'm sure he had his scotch when he got home from work every day, okay? You know?
Exactly. A little drink to make the medicine go down.
Yeah.
Commander Bloomingman, what's going on in your neck of the woods?
Well, as you alluded to, today was an absolute shitstorm of a day. So I work and I see patients in the hospital and in the clinic all day on Friday at Hospital A. And I got a phone call from my nurse from Hospital B today saying, I heard you're covering the echo lab tomorrow.
Uh-oh.
And I said, no, I'm not. I'm covering it next Friday when everyone's out on spring break. And she said, they're out on spring break tomorrow. And I said, well, they didn't tell me the date. So, as a consequence, I had to scramble and figure out a coverage schedule for tomorrow. Fortunately, my boss has a sense of humor about these things, and he was amused about it because it all got taken care of. But I was ready to kill a whole bunch of people. And then on top of that, I do some medical legal consulting on the side. And I got an email from a client who just hired me. And they said, oh, and by the way, we want to have a call up with you tomorrow, and we want to have have everything reviewed and a full report on Monday. And I'm like, whoops. I'm like, well, considering this is fine. I said, considering you gave me the material yesterday after you hadn't sent it for 2 weeks, I need a little latitude. I said, yeah. We can work with Monday. We cannot work with tomorrow. So there's going to be no phone call tomorrow.
Hey, did they send you the chart electronically or via courier?
Electronically, because they wanted me to be able to get it done by tomorrow. And I'm like,
have you tried blocking their email address?
I might.
How big is that chart?
I haven't opened it yet. It's not that bad.
I have a couple of friends who do various levels of medical consulting, and normally when they get a hold of a chart, it's not a simple one. It's big and thick.
This one isn't going to be too bad. This one's not going to be too bad.
That's good.
But I had a different one that I was putting off waiting for this to arrive so I could get this one first because it had a deadline.
Right.
So, alas, I'm going to spend most of my weekend not flying spaceships, but working on this other stuff. So,
oof. And to Bloomingman's credit, we're loose screws. We're used to big and thick charts that are mostly written in wingdings.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
Those are within the low lights of my week. And, I was going to toss it to Larkshadow, but you were tossing it away.
I was going to toss it, yeah, because that was a perfect segue to Larkshadow.
What, the wingdings?
Yeah.
No, okay, fair enough. Suppose I have a brand to keep up. It's just, I can't, so I work customer facing like warranties and tech support kind of thing. I've done that my whole career, and it has its highs and its lows. And they ended on a high, but like having worked in customer facing positions for 20 plus years now, be it in like IT support or a system admin or what have you, I've developed a certain, I'll call it resistance to stupidity, because normally it just straight up bothers me and I get mad at the person. And yeah. I went so far over my limit today. I'm just, So, and I feel bad for this guy, but one of the customers I talked to today, his bosses thought it would be fun to have him call tech support to figure out whatever was going on with the camera. The dude is literally illiterate. I could not read. Yeah, I felt so bad for him. Told him exactly what to tell his bosses, and they were not nice words.
Yeah.
But they included words of like what kind of support they need and who to contact, and sent him on his way. But it was just, it was that kind of stuff all day long. And I was just so far over my limit for dealing with that crap that I came home and loaded up Warframe and shot some stupid things in their stupid faces for a while. And now I feel better.
Yes. I need to shoot something in the face with a shotgun.
It was a flat cannon, but close enough.
Yeah, it gets the same reaction.
Yeah, it's similar enough.
Yeah, I understand.
Oh, but that's been my whole week so far, so I'm very glad tomorrow's Friday because things are actually starting to look up again for me. Man, how about you, Nergs?
Oh, let's see. Yesterday was the regional archery tournament.
Ooh, how'd that go?
And I had one kid, so... Our kids shot at 4 and 5 o'clock in the evening, the last two rounds. And I'd gone and picked my wife up after school. We're heading out to the location of the tournament. It's like a 30-minute drive from her school.
Quick side note, you have sun at 4 or 5 in the evening?
It's indoor.
Okay, never mind. Carry on.
So we're driving down there. I'm driving. She's doing schoolwork in the passenger side of the car. She gets a phone call from the parents of one of our archers. They're already there. It's like 3:30. They're shooting at 4. And I hear my wife say, "No, we don't have an extra bow."
Uh-oh.
They went to the archery tournament and didn't take the damn bow. I mean...
Oh my gosh. Luckily, it's easy to blame on the parent, but the kid could have been like, "Yeah, it's in the car." And then they got there and he's like, "Uh-oh."
Yeah. You know, luckily there's a couple hundred archers there. One of them was nice enough to stick around and let him shoot with their bow, which was really nice of him. And then one of the guys I had showing up at 5, I ended up telling Roy, who was the guy who's Coach Roy, who's actually running the tournament at that point. You know, he comes up to me before we get started and said, "Do you have all your archers? Are we ready to go?" I said, "Nope, I've got my regularly late to everything archer who's still not here yet." And he looked at me kind of funny and I said, "When that clock strikes 5 o'clock, you go. Don't wait on him 1 second. He does this all the time." And he went on talking and doing his things to get set up. And then he was ready and he looked over at me and I just waved my finger and said, "Go." And they went and started the tournament. And sure enough, about 15 minutes later, Sparky and his mom come rolling in.
Sparky.
Sparky. Yeah, well, that's the only thing I can say about him at this point. Come rolling in. They didn't wait for us. "No, ma'am. We don't wait for you in practice when you do this. They're not going to wait for you at a tournament. That's not the way this works. The other 60 people who are lined up here and waiting do not wait for you to find out." No.
Hearing Karen put in their place makes me so happy.
It's just not the way it works. And she's mad. She wants her money back. Like, look, you paid for a slot. You didn't show up for it. You don't get your money back for that. I mean, that's not the way this works. It's not like the worst part about this is, you know, this is the regional. This is one of those things that in September, when the school year starts and the season starts, we know the exact date and time of this tournament. It's set in stone before the school year even starts. So it's not like they haven't known since they signed up for this exactly when this was going to be.
July.
Yeah, the end of August when the kids come into school and we start gearing up. Yeah, one of the things we tell them is this is the date and time of the regional archery tournament because we know when it is and we're going to it. So.
Oh, I love it.
And then we have an update on the Bleacher Bandit at work.
Ooh.
So after being delayed a couple of times, and the last time it was delayed, the DA actually told me, or the assistant DA, actually told me, you know, you're going to get another subpoena when we reschedule this. Call me before you show up because it may be delayed again. Well, it's supposed to be Monday. Said assistant DA called me this afternoon and said, we're go for Monday morning, so be here. And then said, since, you know, he stole a set of bleachers, he said, we need paperwork on the value of those bleachers, and we have to have it by tomorrow.
Oh, when did he tell you this?
This afternoon at about 12:30. God. And I said, yeah, this case is almost 2 years old. Why are we just now having this discussion? And, oh, no, I know, we should have taken care of this sooner. And I ended up telling you that those bleachers are so old, and they are, that the chances of us having the original purchase order for it are almost non-existent because they're over 10 years old. And so the best we're going to be able to do is get a quote for a replacement value.
Right.
And then I got some long lecture about how the quote from a third party is hearsay and there's going to have to be affidavits and like, stop. Let you talk to our operations director who can do all of this stuff that I can't.
That's awesome.
But great.
Like, why are we making this decision now? It's not like you didn't know this for the past, it's more than 18 months. It's like 19 months. It's not like you didn't know this for the better part of 2 years. You were waiting until we're 3 or 4 days out from trial, including a weekend, to make this decision. On the plus side, the detective that called me later to kind of follow up on that and give me some more details on what they needed said, you know, we've got him red-handed. He's representing himself. He's already confessed to doing it. This is going to be really short. And I said, well, how short are you talking? He's like, you're going to be out of there by lunchtime.
Nice.
So, which, I mean, makes perfect sense because it's not like he isn't guilty as homemade sin. But
I prefer artisanal sin, but that's just
me. Yeah, well, artisanal. I did find it, you know, the reason this has drug out so long is because this is his third strike, considering the value of the value of the bleachers makes it a felony. And this is his third strike, which is why he's done everything he can to delay it. I did hear the detective let slip today that he has 19 prior convictions.
Oof.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't ask what for. I'm assuming they're attempting to convert other people's possession into wine.
It's a valid choice.
But yes, 19 prior convictions, obviously.
Or alchemy into gold, one of the two.
Two of those are clearly his previous felonies. And considering when he stole the bleachers, he also had a carload full of scrap metal that he was going to go scrap. I assume the bulk of those are unlawful possessions of other people's property for the purposes of buying booze.
For the purposes of buying booze.
Well, a man's got to make a living.
I mean, if you Google WKRG, which is the local news station, and bleacher thief or bleacher bandit, you'll get the little one paragraph on when he was arrested that has his mugshot in it. And let's just say that's a mouth that's had a lot of alcohol pass through it.
Found it.
See, oh, you're not wrong. Martin comes back and says, exactly.
You're talking to a man who basically searches the internet for a living, so I can find anything.
it's not exactly it, neither. So. And there's his smiling face. Actually, I think it's a smiling.
Oh,
but there's his face. I still remember because I arrived at the scene where they caught him like a minute before the detective got there. And I'm kind of standing over to the side of the way. And the police do their thing. And the detective comes up, gives me his card, introduces himself, and said, have you ever seen anything like this before? No, sir, I have not. This is a first. So it'll be happy.
Oh, shoot.
I'll be happy to finally bookend that story and close it out in the full retelling of the story of the Bleacher Band from beginning to end.
I, for one, cannot wait.
It's going to be awesome.
Actually,
the trial will be fun too, I'm sure.
I have a feeling the ending is going to be very anticlimactic. Because he's defending himself, and the reason he is, the reason we've had so many delays is because he's gone back and forth with firing lawyers and hiring lawyers and defending himself. And the last time we had a significant delay, which was back last spring, or last fall, I think maybe the end of September, the judge had told him then, you're not going to delay this by firing counsel anymore. You can either have counsel or you can represent yourself. Pick one and we're moving forward. Because he had apparently switched a couple of times.
Judge basically told him, pick what you want. We're going forward regardless.
Right. Pick your poison. We're going forward. And he decided to continue representing himself and has thrown some wild motions out there to try to delay it. I know I've seen some eye rolls from the assistant district attorney when we've talked about it, which is why he said, call me before you come to court because it may be delayed again. But it looks like we're on, so we will finally have resolution for that chapter. And I hope he's got some entertainment value left in him, but I have a feeling it's going to be anticlimactic.
I have a feeling your judge is going to be done.
Oh, he appeared done the last time in court. He was really frustrated with the flip-flopping counsel stuff. So, and again, we have his own words where he admitted doing it. He was caught red-handed with them. You know, there's really none of the facts are in dispute. So we'll see what happens. And, you know, so in terms of the game, because, you know, we are here to actually talk about the game.
No, we're not. We have our fans who love hearing about our weeks.
Well, which is true.
Our no good, very bad weeks.
But we had Piranha Night earlier this week.
I'm so sad I couldn't be there for that one. There was a big crowd there. It looked fun.
Yeah. Was that Monday night? Was Piranha Night?
It was either Monday or Tuesday. Sunday.
Was it Sunday?
It could have been Sunday. I forget which. But
well, that's how our weeks have gone, y'all.
We had 7 or 8 people there, had 2 wings going, both in the same instance. Had a couple of new-to-us people show up and participate. And, I mean, Piranha Night is always about as fun as it gets. It's nothing like a bunch of screaming fast little ships running around trying to take on elite anacondas and clippers and... did not have any deaths, to my knowledge. I think we did more damage to each other.
When you have a lot show up, that's usually how it goes with piranhas.
I know somebody...
Everyone's trying to get a shot.
Didn't Trax get a bounty?
Well, I was going to get to that next, but...
Oh,
yes,
sorry.
Trax picked up a bounty because somebody, me, forgot to turn crimes off. In my defense, he did shoot me. So, you know, this would not have been an issue if he did not shoot me, but I will accept the part of this that is my responsibility.
I will play devil's advocate and say, in Trax's defense, you did cross his line of fire.
No, he crossed my line of trajectory.
I had that line first.
And somebody, I for the life of me, I don't even think I know who it was, much less can remember, but somebody apparently intersected Trax's line of trajectory at a high rate of speed and enough to take out his shield and do hull damage. And in a piranha, so in a small ship, that's an impact when you're doing that. But that was a tremendous amount of fun. And we had people in there with everything from my pulse lasers to frags to missiles to, I mean, it was just all sorts of things.
Piranha Eagles got missiles on it. That thing's mean.
Green lasers, blue lasers, purple lasers, all sorts of stuff. It's just a Technicolor light show. And there's, again, there are few things in this game that are as fun as Piranha Night. We got to find a way to do that more often because that's just a blast.
We do. In fact, I don't even think my Piranha has a shield. I'm just running straight up armor tank on that Eagle because
that's right.
Yeah, more maneuverable. Yours is shieldless.
Yeah. I'm still addicted to it. And it's funny that you have the different philosophies because you have a shieldless one. Trax has the, it's only there to keep you from scratching the paint shield.
The little like 2C or 1C bi-weave.
Yeah, the bi-weave that goes away fast and comes back fast. And mine is kind of shield tanky. I have it's still a bi-weave, but I put as many boosters on as I can and have it kind of shield tanky. And I mean, all three philosophies are perfectly viable. It all depends on how you play. But
what should be flying that's a shield tank that small?
And now, does anybody have a shield tank ship that uses the Guardian Shield boosters? Because I know theoretically that there are certain small ship builds where it's actually the right thing to do, but they're very niche.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't, but as someone that likes things that are specifically against the meta per se, that is something I've always wanted to try. I've just never made the time to unlock that specific module.
I wish I could tell you mine, because I have it unlocked, and if I could have just like given you a few, I would.
We need to look at that. I had not heard that, but I know there are some weird combinations that make Guardian Shield boosters the right choice.
Yeah, because I had a shield tank Corvette, and you know everything. Instead of having hull reinforcements, everything was shield reinforcements, and I had like 10,000, 12,000, like some absurd shield. But the problem was it would never recharge. You know, if you ever got it whittled down, you know. So that's when Trax turned me on to bi-weaves.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was bi-weaves like, I get the concept now. And yeah. I think Robin Hood had an epiphany this week, the same way I did several months ago with the beauty that is using bi-weaves.
Oh, yeah. Bi-weaves are always bi-weaves for most purposes are the ideal shield. Love me
for most purposes.
For most purposes.
I still have a 5A prismatic that I want to run when I'm just like, you know what? I don't want my shield to come down. Screw you.
Well, prismatics are great choices. See, we've lapsed right into shipbuilding philosophy. prismatics are great choices for putting undersized shields on ships that are not necessarily going to be fighters like cargo ships or miners, that where you just need a strong enough shield to get you out of trouble.
Right.
And you don't really care whether, you know, how long the recharge on it is because you just need to get out of that one situation. Or they're a really good choice on single-purpose mission ships. Like if you're going to be tackling wing assassination missions, you know, having the extra oomph behind that prismatic is necessary to solo a wing of you know elite whatever's.
Oh yeah, and I do that on my Python when I take those combat missions. I'll swap the 6C bi-weave for my high resistance, specifically engineered to be high in all the resistances prismatic.
Yeah,
and it's only a 5A, but I get so much more shield out of that. Swap the module reinforcements for shield boosters, and I'm gold.
Yeah. And again, you know, you only need that shield to last for that one encounter.
Exactly.
And prismatics are awesome for that purpose. And honestly, I don't know what people use regular shields for.
I have a thermal resist 4A shield that I occasionally use on my Viper Mark IV. And usually it's because I don't have a prismatic that small for that ship.
Yeah.
And B, that's my, like you said, single use. I need to go kill something. I need to last longer than it in this tiny ship shield.
Because, yeah, I mean, for me, it's either prismatics or bi-weaves. I never fall into that just regular shields.
Yeah, let me check with mine. I mean, I don't think I've used a regular shield since I made the conversion over to bi-weaves, but I don't have any prismatics. Yeah. I mean, I've not unlocked.
Yeah. I haven't those, either.
So I just have not needed them. I mean, and as far as assassination missions go, yeah, my Corvette, I mean, yeah, some people are like, oh yeah, you got the Corvette or whatever, but my Corvette just choose up wing missions, assassination wing missions, because I have an SLF, and the SLF just, you know, she draws fire and lets me just go take care of business. And for some reason, I mean, different compared to Xbox, is that Xbox, you go in to an assassination mission, it seemed like everyone was attacking me at once. But with the wing assassin missions on the PC, it seems like I go after the main guy and all the other people are just watching us.
Yeah, it's weird. Sometimes they do that. And that is a bug.
I've been able to replicate that bug.
Yeah, and it's been around.
I'd have to do it scientifically, but I believe it only happens if you have anything in the hold, everyone will attack you. If you have nothing in your hold, you're fine.
I never have anything in my hold when I go kill things.
I need to science that more, but I believe that to be the case because every time I've had limpets, they all swarm me, and every time I forgot them, I was just me and the other guy.
You know, they don't bother me with limpets. Like, I always have some limpets stashed away to pick up mats, but...
Oh, I have people not even bother to scan what's in my hold and just demand 5 tons of limpets.
Really?
Really?
Yep. I've had that happen to me multiple times.
Yeah, well, see, that's what happens when you have a ship that has cannons and multiple SRV bays.
You know what? I'd throw an SRV at them if I could. Looking at you, Frontier.
We're driving all over your hull. All right. That's enough of us. How about we do a squad update? And I didn't even have to ask for the sound effect, and it just spontaneously happened. That's awesome.
Oh, now that
AI soundboard,
soundboard.
Gosh.
All right. So, squad update. Elections in Kopi and Zing for control. We want to win that. Yen T, there is another election. And then in Kalarum, our friends at Project Elite are doing the work that no one else wants to do and are managing that on our behalf. And our expansion out of Snooki Zion finally landed at Koliawa.
It's not like there was a reason for that to take forever. Something else going on, you know?
Yeah. So the good thing is that we have a couple more systems, Kopi and Zing and Kolwaya, that we'll be working to take control over. And we also have some underheating and overheating going on. So those are things, if you're looking for something to do, that are in the Loose Screws BGS channel and the Standing Orders. And then in light of the Thargoid endgame, people are going to be earning tons of arcs or blowing up the cores of these titans and getting stickers and getting ship kits and all sorts of fun things that we can't give away. We're going to be resting our expansion for a little while just to kind of consolidate our holdings and also so that we can enjoy participating in that guilt-free. So,
indeed. And I would like to ask for help, whoever can give it, tamping down HIP 4907, because good gosh, I've done a ton of missions here and I'm not getting any traction. It's a big system.
If anyone has Carto, drop it off. There's a couple places that don't belong to us.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'll put them in the squadron standing orders where to drop off Carto to nerf that
system. Thanks, bro.
HIP 4907 is one of those wonderful systems that only offers assassination systems in one place, which I believe from memory is Kalarum. But
no, it's not Kalarum. It's too far away from Kalarum.
Okay, well then I forget where it is. But HIP 4907, all the factions in there offer assassination missions to only one destination. So if combat is your jam, you can go load up on assassination missions for everybody but us. Complete them all in one.
Everyone in that other system trying to kill you.
Yeah, well, that's true. But complete them all in one place and then come back and dump them off in 4907, which is an easy way to reduce, to take the heat off of loose screws in that system. And speaking of Koliawa, we just landed in. That is one of those one horse towns. There's only one station. So there will be no conflicts as we go to the top.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep. So the other thing, so for HIP 4907, if you've got Carto that you want to sell, you're going to sell it at a ground station. There are one, two, three, four surface ports that have cartographic stations. All of them belong to somebody that's not us. So
there you go.
That's one more way to get us nerfed.
Real quick BGS question.
Yes.
Because I never thought about this. Do the bonds from the Pilots Federation count at all towards BGS?
They do not.
Okay, I didn't think so, but thought I'd ask. Because I have a bunch of them.
No, and the Pirates or the Pilots Federation is, I think they have an invisible PMF in every system.
Correct.
Because if you dump enough of them anywhere you dump them, you'll get this message saying you are now allied with the Pilots Federation.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
right. So there's an invisible chapter in every station.
They have secret police watching you fly. Yeah.
And since you mentioned since you mentioned bonds, another important thing to note is that bonds, regardless of type, never have any BGS effect.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that either.
It's only reputational. And then, of course, war bonds affect war outcomes, but they never have a BGS effect. As opposed to bounties, which always do.
Nice.
All right.
Thank you for the clarification.
Well, I'm a geek for this stuff.
Yeah. As am I.
and I admit it. So, quick on GalNet news front, I don't think this is a spoiler for anybody, but on the 1st of March, the Thargoid Titan Tyrannus was officially destroyed by mankind.
Yay! And it was glorious.
A 30-gigabyte explosion.
Were either of y'all there for that?
I was there for that. I was in the same vicinity, Lark.
I was streaming it, so I'll have to. Oh yeah, that's right. You were next to me. I was streaming it, Nurgle. So I'll have to see if Twitch saved that, and if it did, I'll throw you a link so you can watch it because I had a pretty good view.
Okay, good. And I've seen four or five views of it. So a lot of people filmed that. So I didn't feel like I was going to miss much.
Much and, like our weeks, it was a giant energetic cloud of caustic energy.
Exactly.
And the best part was that my wife joined me to watch the explosion.
Nice.
I was like, we're about to go out. And I was like, can we just wait a little bit? And I want to do this thing. And she's like, your spaceship game? I said, yes, my spaceship game. And so she's like, oh, that's pretty. What's that? I said, that is an enemy mothership and it is about to explode.
That is the beginning of the savior of mankind.
Yeah. Yep. So for those who weren't there for it, are you familiar with, for any of those familiar with the blue Taurus that it does to defend itself? At the very end, it tried to do one of those again, except it was like a blood red orange color. And then that failed, and then we all went backwards at 5,000 meters a second.
Yeah. That's the FDev pushback, so you have a good view of the explosion.
I don't even care. The explosion was so cool.
We put a lot of effort into generating this explosion, and we want you to see it from the best possible angle.
Yeah.
And you know what? After the fact, I saw some people complaining that, oh, there's so much caustic in there, we can't get in, and invisible wall and blah, blah, blah. You know what? It was a ship the size of a gigantic city that exploded. There's so much Titan blood in there, it is going to take a while to dissipate, and that's okay.
Yeah.
The question is, what are we going to find at the center?
Yeah. What are we going to find when we get back in there?
My vote, and I just came up with this today. We're going to find some sort of surviving Guardian technology at the center of that.
Guardian technology?
Yes. Because it was inside the Titan.
So you think the Guardian nanite torpedoes filled it with nanites? And then nanites under the control of Salvation have secretly been sitting inside the hulk of the Titan and have basically assembled Voltron.
I think the reason the Titans can shut down the Guardian stuff and have the anti-Guardian field from a hip 20 blah, 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 is because they all modified themselves with some sort of Guardian thing based on that technology from the dead one that told them what to do because Salvation brought it halfway back to life and then came the human space And I think the remains of that technology is what we're going to find at the center.
Interesting. That's a viable theory. Yeah, it's a viable theory.
In my head, that's one of the only ways to explain how they did that and tie it back to HIP 2940, whatever it was.
There has to be some payoff to the Salvation storyline through all of this.
Yeah, I think it all has to do with Salvation. We just don't know it yet.
There's 30 gigabytes of update that, you know, we've got sitting waiting to reveal it to itself to us.
Well, that was just selfie Salvation took.
That may not be fair. I mean, we joke about the 30 gigabyte explosion or the 30 gigabyte update, but somebody did a clean install and the size of everything installed barely changed.
So, yeah, it was a lot of replacing files that already existed.
Right. So, I mean, we can still joke about the 30 gigabyte explosion, but it really wasn't quite that bad. And is it while we're talking about Tyrannus being destroyed, the irony is that today was the weekly server reset, so it was Tharg's day, and Tyrannus, even though it no longer exists, gained control of 6 systems.
Oops.
So apparently nobody at FDev remembered to shut down the Titan expansion when one of them gets destroyed.
I don't know. I mean, Galnet article, we could talk about that when we get to Galnet, but the Galnet article seemed to imply that, you know, with all of the caustic stuff that hasn't settled yet, that something may be afoot rather than we actually destroyed it. You know, I mean, we may have destroyed it and then there's still sort of that, you know, second jump scare, like the jump scare at the end of the horror movie, or, you know, I don't know if you guys remember Star Blazers, but when they took out the center of the Comet Empire, there was a ship underneath the big Comet Empire city that still was going to Earth, and they had to do a second, destroy the whole thing a second time. So, I mean, there may be some sort of something, because they did use the term culmination as opposed to end of the Thargoid War.
That is true. They did. And we still have yet to see what's at the center of the caustic Tootsie Pop.
Yep. I don't think I have a lot of Thargoid stamina left for another round of there's something funky going on at the Circle K.
Oh, no, I'm leaving it to the professionals now. I got my fun.
Yeah, I have a feeling that, they're going to retreat all this stuff out of the bubble. So whatever happens as we're beginning to destroy these other things, we'll eventually see what the cloud at Tyrannus settles into, and then something. So
yeah, I think
it's just a question of when.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still don't even think we're going to be able to destroy all the Titans. I think we'll get one or two of them, maybe three, and then the others will retreat because they're going to be like, oh, frick, I don't want any part of that.
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
One of the issues humanity is going to have, and, you know, for those of you who don't use it, Defense Council of Humanity has an awesome website that shows you all of this stuff.
They do.
If one of the things they learned dealing with Tyrannus and then moving on to Ligong is that the damage resistance of the Titan is dependent upon the number of systems that Titan controls.
Yeah.
Tyrannus had been pushed back to basically nothing at the point where they were able to destroy it. Ligong has now been pushed back, I heard someone say, to it has one more system active now than Tyrannus had when they started attacking Tyrannus, and that is 10. It controls 10 systems.
And that one more system makes a difference because they damaged it, and then it regained most of its health at the tick.
Right. Any heart that's damaged at the server tick gets healed. So you can make some progress, but damage resistance makes it hard to do that. But then you look at, like, Cosijo, Cosijo Titan, has 126 controlled systems. Hadad has 110. Indra has 91. And Rajan has 127.
What's Oya sitting at?
40.
Go us.
But, you know, Tyrannus, Legong, and Oya were the three low ones to begin with. Because even Thor is at 80.
Well, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Tyrannus, Legong, and Oya are also closer to most of the player made, where most of the player made factions ended up, aren't they?
I know Oya and Rajan are. I'm not sure about Thor. But that's
I'm not sure about Thor either. I really don't know what's on that side of the bubble, to be completely honest. Yeah. I rarely get over there.
But I know Oya and Rajan are close to where we are.
Yep.
But then, you know, Oya's at 40 and Rajan's at 127.
Yep.
So Oya definitely landed in a much more Thargoid active area. But so some of those are going to take a lot of work to reduce to the point where they're actually damageable. You know,
because at the point they're at now, you could damage the hearts and it'll be back to full health at the tick.
Well, and like these systems that are over 100, or the Titans that are over 100 controlled systems, they're going to have such high damage resistance that it's probably going to be impossible to take out even the first heart in a week.
Yep.
So, well, I mean, I think what they need to do is, I think they just need to take the debt snowball approach to all of this, which I think is what they're doing. And,
yeah,
you know, take care of Legong next, and then the next biggest. And then first get them to a point where you can damage the heart and then go after the heart.
Yeah. I think that is the plan.
Yeah. I mean, Dave
like
Ramsey.
Gangbuster style.
But I think Legong is showing us that you have to get them down to 10 controlled systems before it's feasible to start taking out hearts.
Yeah.
And if you've got three of these that are over 100 controlled systems, that's a lot that has to be rolled back before they're ever going anywhere.
To be fair, though, we've also learned that when they have that big of a bubble around the Titan, that those, like, if you look at it kind of like layers, like an onion, those first couple of layers go quick because it's really, really hard for them to reinforce that out there.
Yes, that is true. The bigger the further they are away from the Titan, the easier they are to roll back.
Yes.
Now, how do the spires factor into all this?
The spires, I believe, are what, and I forgot where I saw this. It might have been on the DCOH site. But the spires are what are actually resupplying the Titan so it can heal. That those are literally the Titan's resupply stations.
Yeah, so if you take those out, then won't that affect the ability to damage the heart?
Yes, but you can take the spire out, but if that spire is surrounded by other Thargoid control systems, it's going to come back to life right at the tick.
Oh, okay.
It's they're all linked, so... And
which is really, really friggin' cool. It's just a lot of work.
Because, you know, Thargoid control peaked at 1,186 systems in May of last year.
Dang, that was a lot.
And then hit a low of 288 systems in the beginning of December, which was right before somebody at FDev decided that hypodermics were not the way to win the war, and they rolled back tissue sampling. And so Thargoid control has now grown back to 597 systems.
Right.
But even that curve is starting to taper off and go the other way as we start rolling back systems and Titans. Fascinating how this has played out. But I think for my taste, they've drug it out just a little bit too long.
Yeah.
But I still think they've done a good job with it. So.
Absolutely. Because I remember at one point when they had like 1,800 systems, like Oya was close enough to our space that I, in my far jumper, literally only had to jump once and I would have been in a Thargoid controlled system.
Yeah. At the closest, it was either just over or just under 40 light years.
And that was the point that I'm like, okay, I need a dedicated AX ship just in case.
Yep, yeah. Me too. That brought it home.
It's like, all right, that fire is getting a little close to the fence.
Yeah.
And if I recall correctly, it was Balmus that was our closest.
Yeah, it was.
I think so.
Balmus or Bumber? Pretty sure it's
Balmas is usually where I go to get scorpions because they have that military settlement there.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that was it.
I was really worried that they were going to invade Screw Space at the beginning of the war.
Oh, I was too. Yeah.
So
we're all just watching the maps like, are we going full bore? Are we going full bore?
We definitely did our part. So,
I mean, it has more systems than I'd like, but I would say it's at least hemmed in. You know what I mean?
At one point, Oyo was down in the teens.
Nice.
So it's been part of that recovery from the Thargoids a little bit.
I think what helped the other Titans expand a little bit uncontrolled was the fact that we all got Tyrannus down to what it was. And like the whole player community is just like, go, 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 go. And everyone came over.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a lot of that was AXI really made it a mission to pile on Tyrannus and see what happens.
Oh, those mad lads.
Yeah, because, I mean, at one point they had Tyrannus down to no controlled systems. They had it completely isolated. Yeah, they had it completely isolated. And it had rebounded a little bit by the time the end game for the Thargoid War got here. But yeah, they had it completely isolated. It was interesting.
Oh, that's funny.
All right, so let's move on to dev news. So update 18.0.1, the patch to the patch, did that just come out or is that just get scheduled?
That came out yesterday.
That came out yesterday. Okay.
Yep.
Which supposedly fixed some of the issues around the Titan scenarios. I don't know if anybody's even tested that yet. I know Trax last week when Tyrannus was still kicking, kept having instances bug and had really struggled to find an unbugged instance to be able to do anything in. So hopefully they have got that taken care of. I know there are some bugs that were introduced with update 18. One of them is that when you're on the commodities screen of a market, there is no longer the little tag that shows you how many commodities of each type you need to buy to fulfill your current missions. There is a current frontier issue for that. The link is in the show notes. So, and that was a change that came in update 18. So please go and upvote that. And I know we were talking about this even before we started recording tonight, that we've each heard of other bugs that are out there, but we can't remember what they are. So if you know of one, especially one that has got a frontier issue, please drop us something in one of the channels on the Discord and let us know so we can at least add it to the growing list of bugs in the show notes for future shows so people can go and upvote those. I find it interesting that this particular bug, the one for the market not showing stuff related to your missions, I find it interesting that this showed up because nothing to do with the market was touched in update 18.
Saw this bug just a minute ago because I'm running some delivery missions right now. And so, I went to the system, it had the thing. It did not have the little globe for a mission right next to it. It was just there.
Well, and it's even worse. It's when you look at the market screen and you're actually buying commodities. You know, normally it'll show you how many is needed for the missions you're currently carrying. That's what's going away.
Yeah, I didn't get that either. Neither of those things appeared, which makes me think they're related,
which is
as far as the code goes.
Which is it could be. Which is a serious quality of life rollback. But
just got to keep track of what you're buying, y'all.
Yeah. There was nothing in the update notes that referenced anything to do with markets. So
that is not fixed yet. Can confirm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, even after 1801. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I just saw that just a couple minutes ago when I was buying Galite or something for the mission.
So
I didn't want to mine it.
The fact that they didn't mention any touches to market-based code, yet we still have this error, means either they did touch it and they didn't tell us, or the spaghetti code really is as bad as we've always thought it is, or somewhere somebody was working on some stuff with the market that made it into the update patch without being in part of the changelog. None of those three is really good.
Personally, I think it just hasn't been gotten to yet.
Well, I'm talking about, you know, I mean, I know why it just hasn't been gotten to yet is why it hasn't been fixed. This is why it's there to begin with.
Yeah, well, that's the mystery. Yeah, because, I mean, I think it's really a spaghetti code issue. I mean, I think that this, like, the game's been, like, layered, you know, it's a 10-year-old program.
Yeah.
With updates and updates upon updates and even more updates and, you know.
Someday I hope to read a book entitled Working on Elite, The Tale of Frontier Developments.
And the engine they use is homegrown. So it's probably got its own spaghetti issues. But, I mean, I bring that up, though, because we've always talked about the spaghetti goat issues they have. And from our side, just, you know, seeing the notes that they give us, it's really impossible for us to tell if it really is spaghetti code or if it's lack of good documentation of what's going on their side. Because both would appear the same to us.
There's so much spaghetti, they're honorary Italians.
Very well. That very well could be it. All right. Moving on to Titan Rewards update. So in a show of magnanimity that I don't think I've seen FDF
magnanimity?
Do before. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
If you can say it better, you go right ahead.
Magnanimification.
There you go. That's what we'll go with. Magnanification. All commanders who pass through the Tyrannus system between Update 18 and the giant fireball in the sky will receive the rewards. And they made it clear that this is a one-off thing, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm glad they did that.
Yeah, they really wanted to get people in on that. I thought that was really, really neat.
Yeah.
Also,
I mean, it wasn't for lack of trying. I mean, you know, yeah. I was going to do all the things I needed for the pulse, the Thargoid pulse disruptor.
I had an event scheduled that he was part of.
Yeah, and all of a sudden it was, oh, they're going to give us, we just bought, they're unlocked, that and the caustic sink. So, you know, I tried to go into the maelstrom and go into where the Titan was as soon as they sold us those two unlocked items. And what ended up happening was, as I was getting closer and closer to the Titan, I saw combat, and I was getting pilot bonds, like randomly. I'm getting 4,000s here, you know, 4,000 there. I think I made, just trying to fly around and find the Titan, I think I made like 12,000 credits, and which is completely bizarre because I didn't even shoot a thing at that point.
Didn't even deploy hard points.
I didn't even deploy hard
credit. I couldn't even get into the freaking cloud because I kept having lag issues because every player in the server was there and I couldn't get the timing right on the shockwave to get through it. It just wasn't happening.
Yeah.
FDL goes very fast when hit by that, though.
I think everything does. And in another sign of the new communications architecture at FDev, which I think we have to praise every chance we have, they came out and were pretty explicit on the incremental Titan rewards and what you have to do to get them. So, and this should have been floating around everywhere by now, but we'll go through it just to be sure. Is it, in order to get rewards from the killing of one of the Titans, you have to have done damage to the heat core of the Titan within 1 week of it exploding. So you have to get it in that last week. You can't just run around now and tag everything. And then you need to earn a minimum of 2 million credits from damaging the heat core or the caustic pineapple or the cat penis or whatever we're calling it. And I've been led to believe that 2 million credits of damage, it's about 390,000 to 400,000 for each cycle through the whole process of opening the vents and then damaging the heat core. So you're going to have to do it 5 or 6 times.
Yeah, they gave everyone a chance because within the last week means you would have had to have done damage to like cores one through, I think it was five, before they started going down a faster.
Yeah. So, I mean, they've told us what we need to do now. You also receive arcs from taking out hearts.
Hearts for arcs.
And there's a link here for checking your arcs payouts. Apparently, there is what might be a bug with this. Somebody today, I won't name names, tracks, got 2,900 arcs for the damage they did to the hearts, which is more than FDev said they were going to give out. So there may be an existing bug.
That is one share of, that's almost one share of the FDev stock.
I saw that. That almost equates at current value to one share of FDev stock.
Oh, that's a little sad. So,
well, frankly, I think
it's a penny stock. I mean, it's about like $2 a share or something like that.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. They need to give us the ability to not just buy ship kits, but buy stock with arcs.
Yeah.
Which will never happen, but stock with arcs. Any other dev news we need to cover?
Jackie?
I'll take that as a no.
Nope.
Other than the whole Tyrannus gained six systems today TFG thing, yeah. I don't think so.
Again, that's probably something that you're going to see patched here fairly shortly, because I don't think that is supposed to be happening.
If we do see it patched, I'm going to laugh.
It might be working as designed. There still might be something left under that cloud.
There also just might be Thargoids left to clean up and enough at this point that they can take over a system. We don't know.
We don't know.
Yeah, maybe it's a last gasp.
Like, sure, the carrier's gone, but those fighters are still deployed.
So maybe that's its last little spurt of activity, and it won't do it again. But if it gains more systems next Thursday, I call foul.
Yep. That'll be the indicator.
Yeah. I know. So,
I bet someone, if it is something that just needs to be patched out, someone was staring at a computer screen today at FDev like, damn it, shut off.
Yeah. So I'm sure there were a bunch of people at FDev this afternoon going, that wasn't supposed to happen, was it?
Wait, what? Someone schedule a meeting?
Yeah. I think we messed up. We missed something, guys. That wasn't supposed to happen. But again, next Thursday will be the real tell for that. Or if there's an emergency patch between now and then, we'll know.
Maybe we'll get a faster response time if we send FDev T.
Moving on to Community Corner, we've still got the cannon activate all 40 known Guardian beacons at the same time. I know they were waiting. They had said that they had paused it, and they were waiting for update 18 to, quote, calm down, unquote, before they
try
it.
I don't think it's calmed down enough yet.
I don't think so either.
So still on hold.
Especially since people are still going hot and heavy to try to take out Ligong. That may be something that waits until we get to the Titans that still have 90-plus systems.
Yeah.
But they are still planning on doing it. There's a link in the show notes to their Discord if you're interested in following up on that.
I say to everyone, join them. They're a good bunch of nerds.
They are, and they've got a lot of information. I've heard theories on what happens when they finally do this, ranging everywhere from you're just wasting your time, nothing's going to happen, all the way up to it opens a portal to Raxla.
I don't know. I think Salvation talking again when they do that would be higher up than Raxla, but sure.
Well, yeah. But I think I fall firmly in the category of I don't expect anything to happen.
Yeah.
But just because I don't expect anything to happen doesn't mean I'm right. So I'm glad they're doing it.
And somebody has to do it.
Right. Turn over the rock. Just again, we may think nothing's going to happen, but we don't know for sure until we turn over the rock. All right.
Or shoot the rock with a rocket.
Or that counts as turning over the rock.
Fair enough.
Most cases.
I'll allow it.
Anything we need to cover
Have we welcomed our new tenants in V640 Cassiopeia?
We have not. Why don't you take care of that?
All righty. So I noticed a whole bunch of fleet carriers about a week and a half ago arriving in V640 Cassiopeia and our influence there rising, one of our systems that we control. And it turns out that they are a group called the Tritium Monkeys. And what they do is they are a tritium delivery service. They claim that they can fill up your fleet carrier in about 90 minutes. They have their own Discord, and they're a really fun and friendly bunch of people. So we absolutely welcome them to Screw Space and consider them under our protection because they are a squadron without a PMF. So if you need large volumes of tritium, go to V640 Cassiopeia and get on to the Tritium Monkeys Discord or reach out to them through their Inara page, and I'm sure they will be happy to help you. But that being said, if you need homemade artisanal tritium, you can come to Lambda Andromeda, and we can make arrangements there.
And we'll make sure we get the links to their Inara page and their Discord into the show notes.
Yes.
Discord into the show notes.
So, but in all seriousness, welcome to our Tritium Monkey friends. We're glad to have you in Screw Space.
Hope you enjoy your stay.
Absolutely.
And to their credit, V640 is a massive system, so it's not
huge.
Like there isn't room.
There's room for everybody there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely. 10 billion people. I'm glad somebody is keeping an eye on it.
Yeah. Apparently, they were kicked out of whatever system they were in previously because the BGS, whoever controlled that system, they were screwing up their BGS. So they were asked to leave.
Yeah. Well, in a 10 billion population system, they'll still move the needle, but it'll move much slower.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Yeah. We'll be able and to I be told like, them, hey, not to worry. We'll take care of it.
So. All right. We ready to close this out?
I think we're ready to close this pig.
Well, we started by kicking this pig. We started by kicking the pig, so that makes sense. All right. Join us on the Discord at Loose Screws. My notes are not on here. I'll wing it. Join us on the Loose Screws Discord. We have a website at loosescrewsed.com. We have a Patreon that supports all of the weird things we do on this show, supports the community, supports the software we use to do the recording. If you're interested in such thing, please join and support us.
And that includes some ridiculous merchandise that we sometimes give away.
And that does include ridiculous merchandise we give away because what we don't use to pay for the software and that type of stuff, we like to roll back into the community. So for Commander Bloomingwind and Commander Lark Shadow, I am Commander Nurgle. Our time is done here, and we thank you for yours.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Have a good night, y'all.